Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. And now, here's Rick with the final part of a message called, When You've Come Up Empty.
Stubbornness, pride, and then of course fear keeps me from wanting to admit I fished all night and caught nothing. Because I'm afraid that people will think less of me. In fact, I'm afraid to get Jesus in my boat because he might steer it in a direction I don't want it to go. And if I put Jesus in my job, he may make me a fanatic. He may turn me into something I'm scared to death to give Jesus my job. Well, regardless of the cause, the second step is to admit it and say, this just isn't working. Now, here's the third step. The third step, if you want to see God turn emptiness into fullness, is I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do. I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do. In other words, I must be willing to do whatever he tells me, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's illogical, even if it appears foolish and stupid to other people. I must obey what God tells me to do, even if it doesn't make sense financially. I must do it even if it's illogical and irrational and I don't understand it and I'm confused and I'm scared to death. I still do it anyway. I obey whatever Jesus tells me to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Now Jesus, in the next verse, verse 5, Jesus told him to launch out in the deep. And Simon says, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. We're empty. We've come up empty. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Circle, because you say so. That is the key to a miracle. Because you say so. Not because I think it's smart, not because it's popular, not because I can afford it, not because it makes sense, not because everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do this because you say so. Now, not only is Jesus in the boat, he's giving the fishing instructions. Now, I want you to notice what Peter does not do, his reaction. First, he doesn't argue with Jesus. Excuse me, Lord. You're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. You know wood, I know fish. They ain't biting. So, you know, who are you to tell me to go out and do it this way? I am the pro at this. I know my job better than you, Lord. And when you do that, you are in for so many blessings that you're going to miss. I'm the pro, I know fish. He doesn't argue. He doesn't hesitate. When Jesus says, launch out in the deep, he doesn't say, well, Lord, that's a good idea. Why don't we think about this for a minute? Let's discuss it. Let's form a committee and vote on it. In fact, he says, why don't we do this? We're all tired. We've been out all night. We haven't caught anything. We're dirty. We're sweaty. We're tired. We want to go see our wives. How about if we go home, take a bath, take a nap, get up this afternoon, and later in the afternoon when it's cooler, and the fish are biting again, let's go give it another try. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't delay. It's instant. He doesn't listen to his feelings. I'm sure Peter is dead tired. You know what it's like to stay up all night, to work all through the night? You're ready to go to bed. He's dead tired. He's been up all night. He's caught nothing. He's thinking, why even try? Why even make the effort? There are no jobs out there. The fish aren't biting. He doesn't do these things. Instead, what does Peter do? Unquestioned obedience. Because you say so. If you will become a because you say so man, God will bless your life. If you will become a because you say so woman, God will bless your life. Lord, your instructions do not make sense at all to me. But because you say so, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you in faith. Question, what has God told you to do that you're not doing? You see, some of us want God to give us instructions about our job and about our this and this, and he's already told you some other things, and you're not doing it. God's not going to tell you 3, 4, 5, and 6 step if you're not doing step 1, 2, and 3. And God says to some of you, I want you to start tithing. And you're not doing it. When God says to us, you know, the first 10% of your income goes back to God, you're not doing it. God says to you, I want you to forgive that person and let it go and stop holding a grudge. I don't want to. I want to hold on to it. I want to keep hurting. I don't want to forgive them. You're only hurting yourself. God says, I want you to go to that coworker and I want you to tell him about Jesus. I'm scared to death. He might scorn me. You're not doing what he's already told you to do. And I don't know what God's already told you to do, but you do. God told some of you, you need to be baptized the way Jesus was. Yeah, you need to be in a small, you should go start a small group. I don't really know, but you know, God will tell you what he wants you. But I will tell you this, disobedience always hurts you. Doesn't hurt God. You just miss the blessing. Now, when you do whatever God tells you to do, and you say, God, because you say so, you become a because you say so person, God's going to give you the vision for your career. And I'm telling you, it's going to come in 3 phases, because God never gives you the total vision all at once, because he wants you to grow in faith. It always comes in 3 parts. First, he tells you what he's going to do, and then he tells you how he's going to do it, and then he tells you when. And what we typically do is God gives us the what, and we're like, maybe God says, I want you to go start a new business. And we run out and we try to start it on our own without waiting for part 2 and 3. And then we fall flat on our face. We come back to God. We say, God, didn't you tell me to go start that restaurant? Or whatever. And God said, yeah, I did. But you didn't wait for part 2 and part 3. Part 2 is the how and part 3 is the when. Part 2 is the how, and he always does it in a way different than you think you're going to do. So he gets the glory. And part 3 is the when, and God's timing is perfect. The difference between a home run and a strikeout is one thing, timing. It's all timing. It's the same ball, the same bat, the same distance as everybody else, but the difference between a pro and a guy who bats 300 and a guy who bats 100 is timing. And what I've learned is to wait on God's timing. Why? Because God's timing is perfect. And in prayer, and God says, I want you to do this now, and I want you to do this later, and I want you to delay this, and I want you to start this. And when I hear that, I say, okay, Lord, doesn't make sense to me, but because you say so, that's what I'm going to do. Now, God's vision comes in 3 things. Jesus tells Peter first when, then what, then where. First, he says when. Launch out now. By the way, launch out always means a risk. It's risky to launch out. And God will always force you to take risks. Why? Because there's no faith without risks. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then it says what? He says, I want you to let down your nets. And then he says where? Launch out into deep water. Circle launch out into deep water. He said, I want you to launch out into deep water. Now, why does God tell Peter to do that? Because that's where the big fish are. They're in the deep water. Now, friends, most people live their lives in the shallows of life. They live baby beach Christianity. Just enough of Jesus to bug them and not bless them. They never get in over their head. They live at a superficial level. They come to church and they paddle around in the shallows of life and maybe catch a few minnows. Barely getting their feet wet, afraid to get in over their head, and they miss God's best. Why is that? As a pastor, I've thought about this a lot. Why do so many people, most people in life, live shallow lives? Why do they live in the shallows? Because it's safer there. There's no big waves by the shoreline. Your boat isn't going to get rocked around. It's not risky to live a shallow life. Actually, it's the greatest risk, because you're missing out on all the blessings of eternity. And so we live these shallow lives. It's safer when we live in this nice little comfort zone where we want God to bless our plans, but we're not willing to let Him use our business as His platform. Let me tell you something, a little secret. One of the reasons God is allowing this recession in your life right now is to force you into deeper water. He loves you too much to let you stay in the shallows. And He is forcing you to launch out into the deep, to take a risk. Now, obeying Jesus when it doesn't make sense is the scariest, riskiest, most dangerous thing to do in life. It's also the most rewarding way to live. It's the way He does it. I mean, I think it seemed so illogical 30 years ago when I'm living in Texas and God says, I want you to move to Southern California. And I want you to start a church in a place you've never seen with no money and no members and no building and no salary and no support, and you've never been a pastor. Sounds like a plan for failure. I'm so glad I said, okay, because you say so. How would history be different if I had said, no, I'm the pro at this, you're not, Lord. I'm not a pastor type. I'm not a church planter type. Because you say so, I'll do it. Now here's the fourth thing you do. Okay, I give Jesus complete access to my life, to my job. I admit my efforts aren't working. I obey whatever Jesus tells me because you say so. And then I expect Jesus to turn things around. I expect Jesus to turn things around. Now follow me on the logic of this. If God tells you to go fishing, and then He comes along with you in the boat, and then He points out where to let down your nets, do you think you're going to come up empty? I don't think so. Really. I mean, I imagine at this point, Peter is quivering with anticipation. He's going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And all the fatigue and fear and failure and frustration that he's felt from the night before, it's passing away. He's going, oh, this is going to be good. He's not afraid of failing now. He's not afraid of launching out into the deep. He's not afraid of taking risks. Why? He's got God's presence in his boat, God's plan in his mind, and God's promise in his heart. There's no way he's not going to succeed. No way. If God told him to do it because you say so, he's full of faith. The Bible says this here on the screen. 1 Thessalonians, the one who calls you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. God cannot lie. Now, follow me on this. If God can control the forces of nature, okay, all the fish in Sea of Galilee, come over here to this spot right now. And all the little fishies swim over to that spot. All right, guys, let down your nets. If God can control nature like that, and obviously He can, He can get you a job. He can get you what you need. He can take care of you, but you've got to do it His way. He can do it overnight. He can do it in 10 minutes. After all the delays and difficulties and dead ends. Now notice the results. Luke chapter 5. When they had done so, what is that? When they had done what? Obeyed what Jesus told them to do, admitted they weren't failing at it, give Jesus complete control and say, okay, my job, I don't work for the company, I work for Jesus. I'm a missionary. First and foremost, I'm seeking His kingdom. Jesus is in my boat. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink, more blessing than they could handle. In fact, they had to share it in order to not go under. I know this one personally. I know what it means to trust God with so little that he blesses you with more, that he blesses you with more, that he blesses you with more, that he blesses you with so much, you have to give 91% of it away. I know this. I've lived this miracle my life. You see, God is looking for people to bless. It's not like God doesn't want to bless people. God is looking for people who are blessed. Now, if you will get blessable, he will bless your socks off. God is looking for people to show his power through. God doesn't want to make you a fat cat. What he does want to do is show to the world that he's God. And he wants to bless you in such a way in your job that people look around and go, God did that? That's when God gets the glory. This is the time for the miracles of acceleration. And this is a turning point in their lives. God is looking for people. God wants to bless you so much that you become a blessing to other people. You know why God blessed me with all that book income and stuff? Because he knew what I'd do with it. He knew in advance what I'd do with it. Now notice Peter's reaction, verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw this miracle of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Remember, he's not a disciple yet. He's just a fisherman. He's a businessman. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." In other words, you are God and there's no way I deserve to be around you. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's business partners. This miracle is the turning point in their lives. Notice the real lessons. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." And of course, Simon was afraid because he'd seen God do this unbelievable thing. He was afraid. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Now, let me stop right here. This miracle is not about money. It's about men. It's not about possessions. It's about God's purpose for your life. It's not about keeping a whole bunch of fish. It's about the kingdom of God. He's getting ready to call these guys to follow him 100%. So he does a miracle in their business, but it's not about so I can make you a successful businessman. It's about I want 100% of your life for the kingdom of God. He said, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. I'm going to teach you how to change the world. I'm going to teach you how to be used by God to change lives and companies and homes and communities. And I'm going to use you to mobilize you to fish for people. And he's saying, let me show you what I can do if you'll put me first. Let me just show you what I can. I can take care of all your financial needs if you'll put me first. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. You'll catch men. You'll fish for men." I want to remind you that when Jesus Christ called his disciples, he called grown men and women, professional business people, to leave their jobs and follow him. Look at the next verse, or the rest of that verse. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So they pulled up their boats onto the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Do you see what happened? They leave all those stinking fish in the boat. They didn't even clean them. And they're not thinking, "Oh, good night. We got enough here to set us up for the next 5 years. This is incredible, you guys. We are in the money." And what do? They walk away from it and just start following Jesus. Why? Because they were more interested in the blesser than the blessing. Are you? You see, we're all interested in the blessing. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. They were going, forget the blessing. If that guy can do this, I'm following him, because if I stay close to him, there's plenty more where that came from. I don't need the blessing in my life if I'm like this with the blesser. I can walk away from the biggest catch in my life. I can walk away from stock options. I can walk away from an enormous deal because I'm with the blesser. And where that came from? His plenty more. I can take care of that. Too often we're more interested in the blessing than the blesser, but they knew that if they followed Christ, there's plenty more to follow there. God is calling some of you, listen, to leave your nets and follow him. God called grown men and women to leave their jobs and go into full-time Christian ministry. God is calling some of you to do that. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, well, because I'm out of work, I'll go become a pastor. No, God doesn't need your leftovers. Like, I've got nothing else to do. No, in fact, these guys followed Christ at the moment of their greatest success. They walked away from it. A man came to me and we met who's been a part of Saddleback for a long time. He's been in a small group, but hasn't been real active in visible leadership in our church. And he said, you know, Rick, I was driving down the freeway one day and God said, this guy is a CEO, CIO of a major company that if I named it, you would know exactly who this company is. Huge, huge company. He said, I was driving down the freeway and God said, I want you to quit your job and I want you to go serve on the staff of Saddleback Church. Hang on here. Okay, you're walking away from enormous pension, enormous stock options, salary, to come work for a pittance of the price at Saddleback Church. Yes, why? Because you say so, Lord. I didn't tell him to do that. God did. I could tell that story over and over and over and over in this church. You think he's going to regret that in heaven? I don't think so. You think God was smiling when he did it? I think so. Do you think that's what God may be calling you to do? I don't know. But I'm telling you this, there are more of you being called than you realize. He's calling you to leave the comfort zone, to leave your nets, just like I did, and launch into the deep. Others of you, God's saying, no, I don't want you to leave your job, but I definitely want you to start using it as my platform. I want to use your boat. And I'm going to use your boat. And no longer does your job belong to you, and it's not your source of income. I am your source of income. And I'm going to use your boat to preach the gospel. I'm going to use your job as a platform. And I want you to take these four steps so I can bless you. I want you to give me your job. Give me your career. From now on, it's my career, and you are a missionary in disguise as a carpenter, a teacher, or whatever you do. You are a missionary in disguise. And I want you to admit that your best efforts have failed, and you're coming up short, and you've worked all night. And I want you to obey what I've already told you to do, and you haven't done it yet, because you say so. And then I want you to expect that because I'm in the boat, and I'm telling you where to drop down the net, and I've promised to be with you, that you're going to see a harvest. Are you ready to do what God wants you to do? Let's bow our heads. Would you say in your heart, Lord, I've fished all night and caught nothing. And you know it. But I want to follow you. I want to leave my nets and follow you. Completely. So first, Lord, I am committing my job, my career to you. It's your job. It's your career. And I will be your missionary in this area. I give you complete access to my life, my job, my marriage, my friendships, my bank account. It's yours, Lord. Get in my boat, please. I give it all to you. Lord, I admit that things are not working. I have fished all night. And sometimes I've been prideful, and sometimes I've been stubborn, and sometimes I've been fearful. But what I need to do is trust you. And Lord, the things that you've told me to do that I haven't done yet, and I've put it off because I thought it was too expensive, or I couldn't afford it, or it didn't seem popular, or it didn't make sense, because you say so, I will launch out into the deep. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to expect you to turn things around. And I give it all to you. I want to not be concerned about the blessing. I just want to follow the blesser. In your name I pray. Amen.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I'd like to share a story from Tim, who has been through a very tough time the last few years. He wrote this: Dear Pastor Rick, I wanted to let you know how much I have enjoyed the Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith series. Over the past several years, I've struggled with what seems to be a series of unending trials. The failure of a firm that I joined during a financial crisis, and then the loss of finances and investment, and then I lost my home, and I've had a dead marriage and a geographic separation from my children, and I now even find myself unemployed in the midst of a job search. But your teaching on Daily Hope have helped me tremendously. They've brought me closer to God. They've deepened my faith, and they've given me a sense of hope and direction. So I can't thank you and your team enough. You know, Tim, I just want to thank you so much for this thoughtful note, because it's messages like these that keep us going, keep our team going. I'm glad these messages have been helpful to you. And by the way, I've written a book on the six phases of faith, and I'm going to send you a copy of it.
Thanks so much, Rick. You know, Rick would love to hear from you and know how this broadcast has blessed you and touched you. So please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.